Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. This is a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here today with Greta Anderson.
Hi, Ursula. We've got a big show today with news from the natural world with Pat Schlarbrum, an update on sports from our new Local Talk correspondent, Vivica Dillard, and as the main event, news that our very own station, KHOI, is making as we prepare to host the annual Grassroots Radio Conference, a national-scale event in mid-August.
That's right, and we have two very different guests to talk about their work in community radio, one of whom has been voted the best music DJ in New York City, and the other who is working hard to get a radio station started in her hometown in Oklahoma.
But first, we have some news from Local Talk correspondent Pat Schlarbaum about butterflies. As our loyal fans know, Pat keeps tabs on the wildlife in our region and gives us some insight into what is happening in our backyard. Ursula, have you noticed the butterflies around and about?
I've seen swallowtails in the garden a lot more than usual. Haven't seen the monarchs. I'm wondering where the monarchs are.
I've seen a few monarchs, but unfortunately it's always like right in front of my car windshield.
I think we have to plant some more milkweeds in our yard.
I do. I've been thinking like a monarch butterfly, looking at all of the milkweed in the ditches wherever I am. Well, here is Pat Schlarbaum to tell us about butterfly season.
Now is a great time to watch butterflies, according to Harlan Ratcliffe on the Iowa Insect Listserv. If you have flowers around, you might see large butterflies, eastern tiger swallowtails, giant swallowtails, or maybe great spangled fritillaries visiting those flowers. You might notice the same individuals visiting the same area at about the same time each day for several days in a row. You might see red admirals in the evening perching in a particular spot on the ground or on a leaf or on the trunk of a tree. They chase anything that flies past them, other red admirals, other butterflies, and sometimes even birds. Walk past a puddle and you may see dozens of butterflies drinking from the soft earth. They will be mostly males and they segregate themselves into groups of the same species. Butterfly numbers have been steadily increasing during the late spring, early summer season. While it is fun to try to find hidden butterflies when there are only a few, it is more fun to see the airspace above a flower garden filled with flying bits of color. Orange sulfurs have been particularly common this year. Monarchs, which were largely absent from the landscape last year, have been present in some numbers this year. Which butterfly is most common can depend upon where you are. In certain prairie areas, the common wood nymph would be the most common butterfly in July. Gray coppers can be very numerous in similar prairie habitats, but they are totally absent from others. Look for them now, though. Their population peaks in late June, and they will be totally gone by the middle of July. Iowa has several species of hair streaks, and most of them are small and rarely seen. Several of them have only one generation, and that flight is right now. If you visit a prairie or savanna area, look for butterfly milkweed. That beautiful orange-red flower is the best place to find many of the hair streaks. But if you don't have butterfly milkweed, look on common milkweed for them as well. Hair streaks can be spotted from a distance on common milkweed because they break up the outline of the spherical flower cluster enough to be seen. Be prepared, however, to do a lot of searching. You might have to examine 100 common milkweeds in order to find one hair streak. Banden hair streak and coral hair streak are the most common of these rarely seen butterflies. Edwards hair streak can be found easily sometimes as well. Count yourself lucky if you find striped hair streak or hickory hair streaks. Iowa has thousands of miles of gravel roads. Most are a fairly dusty limestone. We also have some minimum maintenance dirt roads. If you go out early in the morning when the dew is just getting off of the plants or after a warm summer rain, you will find lots of butterflies getting moisture from the wet dirt. Look especially along the edge of the road where the vegetation meets the road. Areas with good adjacent habitat are best. Go for stretches of road near rivers or creeks or near some of the wild areas. Dirt roads can be great, but they are usually better to walk than to drive. It can be easy to get stuck out there. Areas near railroads can have some small prairie remnants, which can be quite productive. So get out and watch the butterflies. You'll be glad you did. And that's our phenology for today.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we just heard our man on the wildlife beat, Pat Schlarbaum, filling us in on butterfly season. I'm Greta Anderson, one of the hosts for today's Local Talk with Ursula Rudenberg. Ursula, of course, is also our station manager at KHOI, and she's going to tell us about the station's exciting plans for this August.
Yes, we are just finishing building KHOI's facilities, including this wonderful new broadcast studio, finally. And now we're going to kick it up a notch by organizing a national radio conference focusing specifically on the art and craft of community radio, the Grassroots Radio Conference.
Art and craft, I love that. And as I understand it, this is a yearly conference that happens at a different location every year?
Yeah, the Grassroots Radio Conference started in 1996 by community radio stations who felt that there was a need to preserve the grassroots and local nature of community radio and to support the people who participate in making community media, whether they were managers, volunteers, producers, engineers, or just radio listeners. The conference does not have a central organization. It's not actually an organization. It relies completely upon the individual stations stepping up each year to offer to host the conference, and this station becomes the organizing center for that year. There are no rules, just a tradition to carry forward. And it's a tradition that a lot of people love. There is some seed money that's usually passed on from the station who did the conference the year before. And folks around the country have formed a support group to help us here at KHOI. They meet with us by telephone, and they're really great people. And the host station, in this case KHOI this year, builds the conference according to their own vision. So it's a really creative situation. We'll have a lot of interactive workshops, training sessions, a keynote speaker. And we are planning some activities for people to experience Iowa. A lot of people here will be coming to Iowa for the first time. Also, there's a lot of low-power stations are being built right now. There were about 1,200 stations approved by the FCC recently. And so we will be having special training to help those people build their stations.
You mentioned that this is a conference that happens every year, and a station kind of just steps up and takes charge. I remember there was a month or two back there in late winter, early spring, you were kind of waiting to see if anybody would step up. And when no other station said they would host the Grassroots Radio Conference, you said, we've got to do this.
Yeah, actually, there was a lot of consternation because the conference didn't happen last year because no station stepped up. And so there was a lot of anxiety building up all around the United States and Canada about whether this conference would happen. And so when we stepped up and said we'd do it, there's just been tremendous interest and excitement that the conference is moving forward.
Well, I'm very excited myself, although, of course, it means a lot of work for all of us here at the station. But, you know, because the large majority of us in this world of community radio are volunteers, that doesn't mean we don't aspire to producing quality radio.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really looking forward to what I can learn from the presenters at the conference, and I know my colleagues here at KHOI are too.
Yeah, Grassroots Radio Conference is a bit of a mouthful, so those of you who may have heard of it before, or those who have been involved for a while, we just call it the GRC, and this one's being called GRC 2014. But anyway, your point is well taken. The conference holds to a very high standard, as does community radio in general. We'll have expert news producers sharing what they know about news gathering and reporting. Dick Brooks, who comes to Ames every once in a while. He came last year to coach our reporters. He'll be coming down from Minneapolis, and he will return to give a workshop on interviewing for all reporters. And there'll be sessions for station engineers, station managers, and really anybody who's involved with the medium or likes to listen to it.
Well, all that is great for those of us like us who live and breathe radio, but What about the general public? Will there be anything for them at this conference?
There will be a keynote speaker. He's a highly respected prize-winning journalist, David Barsamian. He's collaborated with the likes of Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn and Arundhati Roy on books, and his latest book is Occupy the Economy, Challenging Capitalism with Richard Wolff. He is also, as you may have guessed, big in community radio with an independent weekly program called Alternative Radio, which is based in Boulder, Colorado. And that show airs on KHOI on Wednesdays at 9 p.m.
Now, that book title you mentioned, Occupy the Economy, Challenging Capitalism with Richard Wolff. Richard Wolff is another familiar name to KHOI listeners.
Yeah, Richard Wolff, he has a show here, Economic Update, that airs on KHOI on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock.
He's out of New York, though, as well, right?
Yes, he's out of WBAI in New York.
Okay. And so all of this is occurring August 14th through 17th.
Yes, August 14th through 17th, and those who are interested in learning more can visit our website, grc2014.net.
About how many people do you expect, Ursula?
There's usually around 150. This year there may be more because of all of the new stations that are being built, and also since last year the year was skipped, there was no conference, so interest has been building up.
And they will be staying where?
As it happens, every year some will be staying in hotels, some will be sleeping on cots in the First Christian Church, who cots have been offered by the Red Cross, and the Christian Church is helping us out. And there will be some tenting, camping on a farm of a friend of the station, and also people will be staying in individual homes in town.
I guess it depends on the pay grade.
Yeah.
So there's one way that you, the listener, could get involved. Offer to host a homestay. We can almost guarantee that you will love your guest. I've only heard good things about the people who attend this.
That's right, and we'll talk more about ways that you can get involved at the end of the show. But now we have a wonderful guest for today's show. Peter Beauchamp from New York City is with us by telephone, and Peter will be traveling to the conference in Ames in August. He'll be coming here.
That's pretty exciting for me. I'm a fan. Peter Beauchamp's show, All Mixed Up, airs every Friday morning on KHOI from 10 to 12, and I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, whoa, is this really? I wasn't part of KHOI at the time. I was just a listener, and I was, whoa, is this what community radio is? and then you let me know that he's a veteran from New York City. He mixes music, sound clips from movies or speeches or current events, often very topical subject matter, into a groove that is just as appealing as it is diverse. I've heard radio shows that play diverse music, but there's something jangly and not smooth and together about it. His is so seamless and beautiful and inspiring. So he's easily one of the most accomplished, well, living radio music show hosts.
So let's play what Peter calls a shortcut to sample that soundscape.
Perhaps it's true that things can change in a day, that a few dozen hours can affect the outcome of whole lifetimes.
We have the capacity, if we develop the self-discipline, to begin to break the machine.
In order to gain possession of ourselves, we have to have some confidence, some hope of victory.
Like the salvaged remains of a burned house, the charred clock, the singed photograph, the scorched furniture, must be resurrected from the ruins and examined, preserved, accounted for.
You're very blessed by an independent radio station, but every time you lose one of these independent institutions within your community, that the walls of the corporate state close in on you.
It's odd that they, the enemy, believe that we're stronger than we know or think we are, right?
There is a force more powerful than the corporate networks who have violated their sacred responsibility. Just like us, they are using the public airwaves, ABC, NBC, CBS. And so it is unforgivable that they have become the most powerful weapon the Pentagon has ever deployed. More powerful than any bomb or any missile is the U.S. media.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to WPG. KM.
Suppose we just don't talk about it anymore.
I'm on 90.7. This is Peoria Underground Radio, you dig?
This is WBAI.
Okay, goat.
Dude.
This is North Country Public Radio.
What does he mean, dude? Dude Ranch?
WERU 89.9.
Here at 102.7 on your FM dial.
What'd you say if I wanted to take my mother along?
Community Radio, KP88.
What is this, make-believe ballroom? How many times are you going to change the station?
Show starts in 1 minute.
It's coming. Thrills like you've never seen before. Romance that will shock you. Exotic locations, a cast of thousands, and the adventure of a lifetime.
Sometimes I feel as if I was sparkling all over. And I want to go out and do something absolutely crazy and marvelous.
Just keep in mind that I and the boys is candidates for hanging. The first time any one of you makes a wrong move, I'm going to kill a whole lot of you.
And to bring new vitality to every explosive chapter, to capture for you the stark realism of people who love so deeply, hate so fiercely, live so recklessly.
All mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
It's horrid. It's unnatural. It's incestuous. It's totally Albanian.
That was a shortcut mixed by award-winning New York DJ Peter Beauchamp, representative of some of the geographic diversity and the purpose of community radio, independent radio, and also some playful touches thrown in. We're talking about the Grassroots Radio Conference, or GRC, to be hosted by KHOI this upcoming August, where Peter will be one of the workshop presenters.
And we've got Peter Beauchamp on the phone from New York City. Hi, Peter. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Peter. Hi. So that's a lot of sound clips all on a road. Could you hear on the telephone what we were playing?
Yeah, I heard. You actually started off with something that we did last fall at BAI as part of one of our drives, but we were pushing the whole concept of the Pacifica Network and what's available. And trying to drive it home that the media is represented best these days on community radio. What you were listening to it mostly was one of the various openings I do for All Mixed Up. To just try dive right in, All Mixed Up is what I do on a weekly basis, and it started at BAI, and even before that I was doing, radio and community college situation in Bridgeport, and then I went into FM radio when it was really happening in the late 60s, early 70s, at places like LIR out in the island and BCN in Boston. A lot of places were running shortcuts, which started right about that same time. But what I do every week is look at what's around. I mean, there's a lot of new music that comes out, a lot of different, anniversaries or some thing I'm noting or celebrating. And if something's really grabbing the public's attention, I try to incorporate that in the first segment of the show. So I pre-produce a lot of it, and then I go on live at BAI. But for about 3 years, I was managing a radio. I went back to my college station, and which is now like 50 years on. But I was, there 40 years ago, and came back and started doing the show from there, like on a Thursday afternoon, where I started doing pre-production, then put it on audio port so BAI could run it on a Saturday afternoon.
And just to
out of that came a whole bunch of stations picking up the program. But what I found was that I had all this BAI. I made a lot of great bands and groups and individuals saying, the IDs. I would always challenge them. But it was all peppered through the show. So that opening you heard basically replaces whatever I put at the top here locally with some thing that's not, says WBAI all over, so the station's going to have to cut it out or introduce it. So that's in a nutshell what All Mixed Up is and how it came to be on your station.
Okay, and just to clarify to our audience here, WBAI is the community radio station in New York City, which is where you live.
Right. I've been on the air there since the early 70s. I was actually contributing stuff by sending tapes to Bob Fast and some of the original golden voices on that station. But I came in, it was, really the radio station in the Northeast. In the 60s, before I got there, it was like one of the first really vital FM radio stations. And it had ties to the to the community, really in a community way, when, you know, they announced they're going to have a meeting in Central Park. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people would show up. They did the same thing at an airport, at a fly-in, and people just showed up. And it was all tied to really great coverage of the, what was going on in the war in Vietnam. They had two newscasts. They had the regular evening newscast, and they had the war report. And they had, you know, all through the day, they had various great programming from incredible amount of people who went on to work on NPR or work for the New Yorker. You know, it was just the place to be.
So, Peter, you've kind of seen the arc of music production or for radio in the last 30, 40 years also. What do you see kind of how has DJing developed and music production on radio?
Well, I come from, you know, definitely an analog background. I mean, when I was first on the air, it was, you know, you go through your record library, which was vinyl, and you pull out, you know, maybe I would always put like 100, 200 albums maybe sometimes to do a 2 or 3 hour show. And then I'd pepper that right from the beginning of my career. I would be like pulling stuff from movie soundtracks or something that would just kind of tie it all together. But it was all done by hand. It was all done on the fly. So like you'd be running your vinyl, you'd be looking at the needle coming to the end of that track, and you'd have your other one queued up, but you'd have, I would have different reservations. I'd have, oh, I got this other idea, and I'd change it. I'd keep on changing it till the very last second. Then it hit the thing, and you'd get sometimes a mistake. Sometimes you'd get a great segue. So it was on the fly, and it was very much, you know, a live production thing. As that developed, I already had some skills with tape and editing that people, you know, various people just had faith in me just recording them, either they were a folk singer or whatever. So I had skills with that. I started doing that, and when I got my first commercial job, which was at LIR, I still thought that people were listening for 3 or 4 hours at a time, and I would get calls, and I would bring in my own stuff and do my own thing, and the program director would call me like every 10 minutes. Is that in our library? Is this going on? And what came out of that, even though he was harassing me, was that even in 1970s, we're talking like 71, 72, he already had his pulse on what was coming, which was that listeners aren't there for you. You think you're talking to somebody who's been listening to you since 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. They're listening for 20 minutes tops. So you've got to make it happen in that time. He kept on, you know, badgering me and telling me this stuff, and it sunk in. So I'm working there, and they have, you know, a ratings period, and I was pulled off the air because they were afraid of me, afraid I was going to do something like this. Meanwhile, a job comes up in New York City at this place called Music Makers, run by Mitch Lee, who was just recently died, who had written Man of La Mancha, and it was a jingle house, primarily, making little jingles with these live singers just singing about a bowling alley or something, and then dropping in the town at the radio station, you know. And my job at first was just to take all these things when they stopped, when they made a mistake, and they'd give it to me, and I would be editing it and putting in a little 5-inch box, a reel of tape on, you know, 1/4-inch tape. And I was in the back room working on these antique things, and it started slowing up, and I started doing shortcuts right there. I was off of LIR, and I decided, well, Nixon was reelected. Shortcuts took off right then.
So, Peter, describe a little bit what Shortcuts is.
Well, Shortcuts started as a little 5-minute thing when I was sitting in my house, where, you know, here in New York City, watching Richard Nixon accepting the nomination from the Oval Office, saying he'd done everything to not divide the country, to not bring up, you know, partisan politics. And also, I was listening to him and realizing if I took out the word not and no and all these lies, he would be telling the truth. So I did that, and I spliced it and released it because I was angry. And, you know, I think Crosby, Stills, and Nash had a song out about something. And so then I went back to PKN because I was still going back to Bridgeport doing this radio station there, and played it, and that became I realized I could do this all the time, and I had all this tape and plenty of time when I wasn't cutting up the jingles to start this Shortcuts, and I did the first one, I think, on Nixon and that, and then I did one on on love and the Caribbean and different things on Watergate came up, and I was, you know, quoted in the Times, like, could they have edited these tapes from the Oval Office? And I said, of course they could have. So, you know, it was weird. I was just, like, took right off from there. But the genesis of what I was doing was that when this guy kept on saying 20 minutes to me, I said, well, I'm going to control that 20 minutes. And I made, mm-hmm. you know, like a half an hour program or a little less sometimes a little more.
So, Peter, why do you want to mix music with current events and public affairs? Why do you...
I always have the idea that I can tie people who are not, so that they don't understand music as just not playing records for their own sake, but that it has something to do with the rest of the world and the rest of life. So I always feel it's tied in. I mean, the best moments were for me working with my colleagues and stuff at various radio stations, when something happens, like Three Mile Island happens. I was doing a morning music show, which was about 3 hours, and, you know, it was like within our range. If Harrisburg was going to be hit by radiation from this power plant, we all were. So we all had that fear, and I'm doing a music show, and here comes the news person coming in to say, well, here's what's happening. And then I'm, of course, reacting to that and playing, you know, music like Elvis Costello was out. You know, accidents will happen. It just made sense. And I started just feeling that was great, because it wasn't about arts and culture and news, but we were all working together to get a great broadcast out. And so that's been, you know, I was already doing shortcuts and stuff before that, but it showed me that this is what can happen. And when the best of circumstances, you all, you know, you take an idea and you work with it. When I'm doing just music, though, when I hear a new thing that reminds me of an old thing, you know, that's because I'm old, or I'm old enough to know the original source of something. So I'll play those two things together for the listener to get that education, also to make them comfortable about hearing this new thing, because they understand the other one. And then you play a third thing that, you know, takes, you know, to another direction, but it all ties together. You know, within one program, you'll hear classical, jazz, country, opera. You know,
we love your stuff, Peter. this is Greta Anderson. I'm co-hosting with Ursula today. I love the story of the origin of your craft and art with mixed up with Nixon and Watergate tapes. It's really kind of an interesting convergence there. I'm wondering, because I am a fan and I'm going to be here at the Grassroots Radio Conference, what you're going to be presenting. I don't have a music show, but I do like to use music in our talk shows and mix that in there. So can you share a little bit what you might be presenting at the workshop?
Well, I haven't really, you know, thought about all the different things, but I looked at the list, the original list Ursula sent out, and I thought of a lot of things I could jump into, but the Three Mile Island is an example of how you can work within your limited staffs people have to really work together. And that's how it's all about the elements. So if it's going to be, you know, actual people, it's one thing, but you look what you have. Like when I was first doing shortcuts in this little room back on East 57th Street at Mitch Lee's, first day there, and I'm like editing, and I've cut with razors and I cut with things, but I didn't understand what this guy from Trinidad told me. Within half an hour, I'd learned more from him than I had done in terms of production from anybody else. He told me I had to cut on the beat. You understand what I'm talking about? And then this is before you could see it digitally. This is one of the things I'll talk about at the conference. It was like you listen to the cadence of somebody speaking, and you make it so you don't cut out too much air, and when you cut the edit out, the next thing has to be natural. Another person who influenced me, this guy showed me how to do this before I get off him. This guy's Steve Williams. I'll never forget him. He was like in his steel band. He opened for the Rolling Stones when they played at Madison Square Garden before it was Stevie Wonder. It was these guys playing steel drums, then Stevie Wonder, then the Rolling Stones, 1972 or 71. I don't know when that was. But he showed me how to edit, and I never forgot that. It was all about not hearing the edit. It was about hearing it, even though it was a person talking. You had to think of it as music. Like you're listening, and you don't want to be sitting in a chair and say, "Oh, wait a minute, something just happened. That guy something was edited." You never want to hear that. And then I got jobs later, and they would hear shortcuts, and they'd hear the things they do with Nixon or the flashy stuff, and they always say, "Oh, yeah, let's be hip, let's do this." And I would say, "If you're hearing me doing that, then I've failed." Mm-hmm. It's all about the big picture. When you're doing a story, and I learned this, and it's taken years, but when I was doing, a half an hour show that would play in Japan, and we had all these other problems with it, my problem was still getting it so you'd hear this stuff and you'd understand it, even if you didn't understand the language. It had to flow, and then it had to come in and out. And when the guy dropped in the translation, that had to work. It always has to be the story. And so it, you're listening later, you know it, what it's about. It's not about the editor. It's not about the engineer, not the producer, not the host. But I still, the concept of it is the material has got to hold up, mm-hmm. whether it's music and stuff. And nowadays, people look at music and they look at the industry as dead. It's changed. I used to go all through all the different record companies. I used to go all the different record stores around Manhattan, trolling, looking for new stuff, trading stuff, listening to all these bands, grabbing all this physical material. Now I do the same thing like most people do, sitting in my studio, looking at the internet. Another great thing, I've been dealing with this high school in Summit, New Jersey for maybe 15 years now. It's just ending because the teacher just decided to quit. But he was a creative writing teacher, and he would be taping shortcuts of BAI on a New Year's Eve and then playing for his class the year-end wrap-up, where I take the songs of the year, the people who died of the year, and the major events, and cut it into a one-hour, sometimes a half an hour, but a one-hour capsule of that. And they would have to write their a report about it, like a letter to me, saying what they thought of it. And it started off, they understood already by the end that they sit in their chairs when they first come in, they say, oh my God, I'm going to sit here and listen to something for an hour. I don't do that. And all of a sudden they do. And then they write me these letters, and I realize from their letters how I've not reached them or I have reached them. And I sort of adjusted my thinking to their way of listening.
Peter, do you do all of the work yourself?
Yeah, I do mostly all myself.
So how much do you actually end up spending a week on making your shows? Because that's a tremendously labor-intensive way of working.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, I try to get people involved. When I'm working someplace regularly, I'll try to have interns or somebody help me. But mostly it's like I'm already starting to think about next week. My mother's coming in tomorrow from Florida to celebrate her birthday, so we're going, picking her up, and I'll be out of my studio till Sunday when we come back. So I have to have something ready, like I say, in pre-production. So usually I'll work before the weekend on what the story is, what's going to happen. And I don't know that all the time because I'll do a half an hour totally mixed, ready for me to jump in at the end with maybe one more song. And that'll take, half a day or, a couple of hours at least of intensive editing. And then I'll be up there or I'll be somewhere and somebody important will die or something will happen. And then I have to react to that when I come in. So I come in on Sunday afternoon, unload, come in here, start working. Luckily, sometimes I can spend a couple hours here on a Sunday afternoon or else I have to wait till my wife goes to sleep and then come back out here and try to work till about midnight. Because if I work longer than that, I can't go to sleep. Then I have to be up the next morning. I'm on the radio, and I'm tired. And I get up early, and then I do the rest of it. Especially since BAI is having a lot of physical
challenges
with
yeah.
that site. I mean, it's up at City College, a nice little studio, but no real facility.
Peter, we have to end our segment here. And thank you so much for sharing so much with us. It's really great talking to you.
This is what you expect out there. It's more of this. I'll try to get it so I'm compressed, the ideas and the questions. But
well, we can't wait to have you out here where there's no limit on our time.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, and thanks for agreeing to come to Ames, and we're really looking forward to seeing you. And thanks
you guys
for
streaming soon?
Yeah, we are. We're having some technical reasons why it's being delayed. But, yes, we will be streaming soon, and then you can hear what we're doing out here in Iowa. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're going to listen for a few minutes to an example of one of his shortcuts. This is from his review of 2013. I think he's focusing on some events that all of us would rather forget at this point, but here we go.
Freedom of choice. once again, it appears, the Washington establishment is refusing to listen to the American people. The deal that has been cut provides no relief to the millions of Americans who are hurting because of Obamacare.
Americans are suffering because of Obamacare.
Obamacare is a disaster, a train wreck, a nightmare.
The disaster, the train wreck, the nightmare.
That train wreck, that disaster, that nightmare.
We defund Obamacare.
Of all the responsibilities the Constitution endows to Congress, two should be fairly simple. Pass a budget and pay America's bills. But if the United States Congress does not fulfill its responsibility to pass a budget today, much of the United States government will be forced to shut down tomorrow.
Some of your own Republicans say they're not going to vote for this because it's a recipe for a shutdown. Do you think you have the votes?
Well, I'll let McCarthy talk about votes. We're confident that this issue will pass. This is a matter of funding the government and providing fairness to the American people. Why wouldn't members of Congress vote for it?
In the event of a government shutdown, hundreds of thousands of these dedicated public servants who stay on the job will do so without pay. And several hundred thousand more will be immediately and indefinitely furloughed without pay. What, of course, will not be furloughed are the bills that they have to pay. Their mortgages, their tuition payments, their car notes.
That's not cool.
Okay, guys. I'm not going to drag this out. We're in shutdown mode. I got to have a skeleton staff.
Ma'am, please, I can't afford to be furloughed.
No, you're not. But Dan, you are.
Ma'am.
Anyway, the deal is it's not going to be long because I've got a meeting with the speaker today. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, today. So I'm going to shut down the shutdown.
That's not going to happen.
Mr. Speaker, it's not going to happen when? It's not going to happen tonight or midnight, or it's not going to happen now?
The House will act this evening, and we'll send it over to the United States Senate.
Cancel everything. Stand for you with me.
I have a very simple message to John Boehner. Stop trying to force.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We were just listening to a mix by Peter Beauchamp of New York City, who will be one of the workshop presenters at the Grassroots Radio Conference, or GRC, which KHOI will be hosting this August. That mix was one of his end of the year shortcuts, that they're called, when he encapsulates the year, and that of course was the year of 2013. I'm here with Ursula Rudenberg, born and raised in Ames, our station manager here in KHOI, and you've been involved in community radio for how long now?
I discovered community radio in 1971 when I moved to Los Angeles and have been a listener ever since. I personally began working in community radio in 2000, and I just have to say, this is a thrill for me to do this conference and to have all these people I've known and worked with for so long come to my hometown and see why I love it. And for folks in my hometown here in Ames, it's a thrill for me to show why I love this national community radio community. It's really a national family, and these are really very fine people that we're bringing to town, and I really could not be happier that they're all coming to Ames.
Wow, that's a long time you've been in this. And we should add that Ursula does the station managing for us out of her love for Ames, not for money. And that is the case for almost all of us here at KHOI. She has a day job 40 hours of the week when she works for Pacifica Radio, who is co-sponsoring the conference.
Yeah, Pacifica Radio is really the founder of community radio, and it's a national network of community radio stations, and it has an affiliate network of about 200 stations, one of which is KHOI.
Okay, so Ursula, can you tell us something about the next guest you've lined up? I know that her name is Mary Frances, that she lives in Norman, Oklahoma, and that she's coming to the GRC in Ames this August. What else should we know?
Mary Frances, as she will tell you herself, is building a radio station right now. The station will be in Norman, and I think will also reach Oklahoma City. She actually applied for a radio permit at the same time KHOI did, which was in 2007, but she has experienced some delays, and so she's still in the process of building the station. Welcome to the show, Mary Frances. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, how are you, Ursula?
Good morning. So good to have you join us.
And your co-partner there, your name is?
Greta. Greta, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Frances, you're in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're building a station that will reach Oklahoma City as well. You're in the outskirts of Oklahoma City?
Yes, Norman is in the outskirts of Oklahoma City, and the place where we're building the station is just south of Norman. And we think that if you're in your car, we might be able to cover all the way from Oklahoma City to the Red River.
Well, that sounds romantic for those of us who don't know where the Red River
is. Of course, the major I-35 highway is that listening audience is very important.
Okay, well, we're on I-35 as well here in Ames. So we're just, I guess, a straight shot up north from you. So, Mary Frances, your station is called KVOY, is that right?
Yes, it is. KVOY, the voice of you.
The voice of you. All right, we were wondering what the Y was. So describe a little bit your project down there, what's going on, and who are you guys? Who's building this station?
Well, as you mentioned, everyone is a volunteer. I've been involved since 2007. I have a board of six people. We are actually licensed or going to be licensed by the Unitarian Church here in Norman, and our board works under their board.
So why
and
do you
I
do
have
this?
About 1,000 people on my list that I send out updates to.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. So why do you do this?
I do it because community is important, and that's what grassroots community radio does. It pulls people together. It creates a local understanding of each other. Building community is what this is all about.
That's interesting. Our motto is building community through communication here at KHOI. So,
okay.
It sounds like we're on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm. Well, grassroots is so marvelous. I have talked with so many people across the country, people I have never met, but who have jumped in to help me whenever I had questions, and I've had lots of questions. And engineers, people who are ought to be charging big bucks, and they do it for free. They do it for the love of community.
Mary Frances, you've been to two grassroots radio conferences in the past. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You were in Portland and in Minneapolis?
Yes.
Can you describe the conference a little bit for our listeners?
Well, the very first one was very exciting. I had no idea what to expect. And about 150 people showed up. All of them were organized into various programs and sessions that they were all putting on for free. They offered home hospitality to people who were coming because, like I say, nobody's getting paid. And it was wonderful to meet all these people who helped me so much to understand what I was about to try to accomplish.
How would you describe a kind of a generic community radio person, typically?
Is there a generic community radio person?
Generic community radio person is, someone like Myron, I guess, in Missouri.
Okay, so describe Myron.
Walked us, who spent at least an hour and a half on the phone with us one night, walking us through all of the equipment that we were going to need, that we would have to report to the people who were offering a grant, and you had to let them know all of the various things you needed and why. And he spent over an hour walking us through that information so that we could get it into the grant, and it was marvelous. He's put his radio station together. Three people only were involved in the initial work, but now, of course, he has the entire community working together. They even do community radio theater, live theater, you know, where they have the sound effects. I love that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a very rich thing. So speaking of Myron, will you give him a call and tell him to register for this conference? We haven't heard anything from him.
Oh, sure. Yes.
And we are really a family, right? I mean, it's a national, actually an international family that work together, cooperate. And I think another characteristic that I see a lot is just this real practical and independent type of thinking. People have to be very, be able to really create things and sustain them under very difficult conditions. And so you get very, very smart people involved, wouldn't you say?
I think so. There's another group, K-Dirt, in Wisconsin, I believe it is, that is a very rural group. And they're up and running, and they helped us with all kinds of other technical information. I'm just amazed at how freely these people give of themselves, and just in order to see if they can't build the community. Al in New York did a pro bono application, which is usually several thousand dollars worth of work. He did it for us for free. I just can't say enough about the community radio people and how freely how freely they give and how friendly they are.
Okay, well, Mary, thank you.
Wonderful to meet some of them finally face to face, because most of this has been over the phone.
Over the phone, right. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited about having you here in Ames, and we're really looking forward to, giving you a hug and getting on with the Grassroots Radio Conference. So thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye, Mary Frances.
Bye-bye.
We've been talking with Mary Frances, who is from KVOY Community Radio near Oklahoma City, and she'll be coming to Ames this August for KHOI's National Radio Conference, the Grassroots Radio Conference. And this is a conference that's been going on since 1996, and it's really about building community, and that's what we're all about here at KHOI. And I think you could hear from our talk with Mary Frances and Peter Beauchan that we'll be bringing a lot of really delightful people to Ames this August 14th through 17th.
And as I understand it, KHOI has organized the conference not just to bring people to Ames, but to highlight Ames and Central Iowa to our guests, to connect them to our community.
Yes, we'll be bringing the conference to downtown Ames. We're renting the entire building of the Octagon Center for the Arts, except for the shop, of course. And since it's right across the street from KHOI on Douglas Avenue, we really want to support local business and the local community with the conference. And we really are inviting visitors to enjoy our local cultural district.
As a KHOI listener, you are also invited to come to the conference. It is not expensive. Registration is only $150 for 3.5 days.
The conference will include a keynote speech by the acclaimed journalist David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio, which we air at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. He'll be speaking at 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 16th, and you don't have to be a conference goer to hear him speak, although we will ask for a donation for KHOI at the door as a fundraiser for the station. We've not confirmed the venue yet for a speech, but we'll be posting that information soon on the conference website, which is grc2014.net. That's grc2014.net. Or you can always call us at KHOI at 292-2878, 292-2878 for information. Or just stop by the station on Douglas Avenue in Ames.
As a KHOI listener, you can also participate in a number of ways and interact with our guests. Here are things you can do. You can host a conference member at your house, put them up in an empty bed that you have, help with transportation around town, or pick someone up at the airport. You could lend us a bicycle for a conference goer to use during the conference. We're going to take bike rides into campus town so they can see the campus as well. You can help with refreshments, with registration, and, of course, we also welcome donations to help fund the conference, including scholarship money for people who might want to come but need help in order to do so. Finally, on Thursday, August 14th, that's the first day of the conference, we will hold a potluck welcome dinner and cookout in front of KHOI on Douglas Avenue. And that's when you can bring a home-cooked dish, some maybe fresh Iowa produce, and help us greet the out-of-towners as they arrive.
We guarantee that you will really love and enjoy these people. It's a great global community of really creative people. To find out more about the conference, go to grc2014.net. That's grc2014.net. And to get involved, you can call us at 292-2878, 292-2878, or email us at khoiradio@gmail.com, or just come to the station.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want to greet our relatively new reporter. She's been here before, but we're glad to have her back and hope that this becomes a pattern. Vivica Dillard is here in the studio with us.
Good morning. Good morning.
She's got a sports update for us.
Yeah, just a quick update. Starting off with Major League Baseball, what they consider to be a World Series preview, the Dodgers and the Tigers faced off last night in Detroit, with Detroit taking the first game with a 14-5 win. The two teams look to rematch again today in Detroit. Also, the Orioles topped the Nationals in an exciting 8-2 win. The Orioles were the first team to hit 3 home runs in one inning of extra innings since the Athletics in 2012. And here are some of the league standings just 1 week before All-Star break. The American League Central is led by Detroit, while Baltimore holds on to the East and Oakland takes the West. For the National League, Central is led by Milwaukee by 4 games, and Atlanta and the Dodgers try to hold on for the East and the West. The Iowa Cubs, Brian Bocock's 9th inning single capped a game that the Iowa Cubs helped give away with a late inning mistake as Omaha walked off with a 7-6 win at home last night. The Cubs have lost 5 of its past 6 games and are 1-4 so far on a 7-game road trip, which continues tonight at Omaha. And although the NBA season is over, free agency is just heating up, both literally and figuratively. The Heat are trying their hardest to keep LeBron James as a member of the team by bringing in shooter Josh McRoberts and Danny Granger from the Clippers. They are hoping this will be enough to persuade him to stay. Their only other competition is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm not sure if any of you ladies remember, but back in 2010 when LeBron James was a free agent, how the city reacted when he decided to leave Cleveland. So maybe they're willing to forgive him and welcome him with open arms. You never know. And a quick World Cup update. Last night, Germany defeated Brazil in a 7-1 match and now move on to the semifinals. Netherlands and Argentina face off today on ESPN. The loser of that match will play Brazil on Saturday, while the winner will face Germany in a semifinal match on Sunday. So, and that concludes the sports wrap-up for this week. Thank you again.
Thank you, Vivica. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been one of your hosts today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. We've been talking about the Grassroots Radio Conference, hosted by KHOI and Pacifica Radio Network, coming to Ames August 14th through 17th here in downtown Ames.
We spoke by phone with two of the folks coming to the conference, Peter Poshan from New York City and Mary Frances from KVOY in Norman, Oklahoma. Contact us to find out about how you can get involved.
We also had a report from KHOI reporter Pat Schlarbaum at the top of the hour on butterflies and a sports update from Vivica Dillard.
Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. And if you've enjoyed this show, tell your friends.
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. 292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening.
And see you again on the radio.